about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Boys, my heart is full. My host chair is full. Now let's go out there and broadcast.
Yeah! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Have you ever taken a whole month off of drinking?
Yes.
And what happened? Well, how were you able to cope?
I got really stoned every day. All day. Every day. A lot of marijuana.
Mickey, some things you say so you can make happen.
How do you think I get here?
Where I am today. I say what will happen and I believe.
Man, you got excuses up the wazoo.
No, I have America up the wazoo.
And now.
Postal Service doesn't make mistakes.
You lose millions of letters every year.
Really?
Then explain to me why none of these missing letters have ever been found.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the last day of January, the 31st.
Anyone get a peek at that that super blue blood moon on the way in?
Not a lot happening in our area.
Didn't really see it, no.
You have the best viewing in the whole world.
It's not really there.
What?
I don't know if it's a cloud cover or what, but I looked up and was like, oh, that's not
just
much.
Looked regular moon? Did it just look the same as normal?
Yeah, it's not supposed to be full, is it?
Yes, it's a full moon. It is also a supermoon, meaning it is, you know, close to the Earth. It's supposed to be 14% bigger than a regular moon. And there's also an eclipse going on that is supposed to make it look red. You're supposed to see all of those things
yeah.
from the West Coast.
I might have been looking at a different moon thing.
One of the other ones?
I just remember,
every time you look up at the moon, I too will be looking at a moon. Not the same moon, obviously. That's impossible.
See? There you go. You're right there, Alan.
Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be really a cool thing, and I looked up and was like, nah. And then I didn't look up again.
Is that you gave up on it?
I gave up on the moon, you guys.
How about you, Kevin? Did you look up, or
nope.
Did you not know it was happening?
I heard it was happening and didn't care.
Didn't care. Because right. It's only the moon.
Right. I mean, yeah, if I'd have seen it, it would have been cool.
Yeah, and they're all over the place.
Right? You got moons everywhere.
Here's what happens, though, is that you're going to see pictures today that people took in L.A., Ali, that are going to blow your mind with how big and beautiful it is. And I don't know how that happens, but every time there's some sort of an astronomical event, it looks mediocre for many of us. And then you see these photos, you go, well, how did that happen?
Well, like telephoto lenses, right?
Certainly, that's sure. Some of it, yeah.
But blow our minds?
They can blow your minds.
Okay.
I saw a guy on the news last night who, this is his thing. Is he takes amazing pictures of celestial events as they line up with places on Earth. And he plans these things out sometimes years in advance. He'll know that he needs to be in Egypt on such a date because he can figure out how to take a picture where it looks like the moon is on the top of the pyramid, for instance. That sort of thing, you know? And his photos are just incredible. So a guy like him would be very, very excited. He had a super secret location in San Francisco planned for this morning that he wasn't going to reveal to anyone where it was.
But right, you can't tell people.
It was going to be amazing. Yeah.
Right.
Because well, people would swarm him because right. He's, hey, that's the big that's photo guy that goes to Egypt years in advance. Right?
That's the moon guy.
I feel like there's
some pictures.
Mocking going on. I'm very excited about all of this.
Right.
Hey, do we have time for a thing?
Yes, stop asking. Every day we have time for a thing.
Because, no, we don't, because we just had moon talk, and I didn't know if I ate up all the minutes.
All right, well, it's close.
This was my favorite story that we didn't get time to cover when we were in New York City. Alia, I'm certain that you saw it. Her name is Jade Haymeister. Do you see her? She is the 16-year-old explorer. See her in the news?
A few weeks ago, I believe.
This was a story last week. It just happened last week. But she loves going to cold places.
Yes.
And in April of 2016, she traversed, it says, 62 miles from 88 degrees to the North Pole, breaking the record for the youngest person to cross the distance from the outside to the last degree. In other words, from the beginning of the North Pole all the way to the North Pole at 16, okay? 13 months later, she made history as the youngest woman to ski unassisted across the Greenland ice cap. And now she has completed the polar hat trick in her final expedition to the, that's what they call it, the polar hat trick.
Is that right?
She has become the first woman. Do I have this right? She is the first woman to. No, I can't find.
Sounds like Bean's making stuff up.
She's going to be on this brand new show called Happy, I believe.
No, that was from yesterday.
Okay.
She skied to the South Pole. That's what she did. She skied to the South Pole.
Oh, my.
And she did have some help in the 37-day journey. Her dad, her guide, and a two-person camera team from National Geographic were there. They were making a documentary about the experience, but she was doing the work herself. She was pulling her own 220-pound sled for 373 miles, by the way,
across
the South Pole. She's 16 years old. Again, the number is a 220-pound sled for 373 miles over 37 days. And the reason she is in the news is because last year she gave a TED Talk, which was very inspirational and very well received. And she was talking about all the things that were available to you if you just worked hard. If you're one of those people who just tries hard and goes after your dreams, it can happen. Look at me. I'm doing what I want to do. And because she's a young woman on the internet giving advice, you can imagine that she was unmercifully trolled.
Sure.
Including many people in the comments who told her, just make me a sandwich. And that's a popular thing. Allie, I'm sure you've seen that in your timeline in the past, right?
Absolutely.
Just make me a sandwich.
Yeah.
Which is a way of minimizing whatever any woman is doing to, let's put her back in the kitchen and have her take care of me.
Right.
So I say all of that to say this. When she skied to the South Pole the other day.
She made a sandwich?
Made a sandwich and posted a photo of her holding a plate with a ham and cheese sandwich and says, hey, guys, I made you a sandwich. Now you just have to ski 37 days and 373 miles to the South Pole and you can have it.
That rules. Yeah.
I thought that does rule.
I love her.
She is 16, and obviously she has a lot going on upstairs and downstairs. You know what I mean? With her body and her mind, she is able to do some incredible things.
That's sort of, she's 16, for God's sake.
Well,
no, I don't mean like that.
She's 16.
No, no, what I'm saying is in her brain and also physically, she's able to accomplish amazing things.
That got ugly.
So I hope that the trolls who told her to just make me a sandwich, I hope they were still following the journey and they saw that and had the appropriate reaction, which is to cancel their internet subscription and stop talking to people.
I'm guessing they didn't.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they learn much along the way, does it? But anyway, there you go.
They don't even look for a response. They just like saying stuff like that.
Ooh, nailed it right there. Yeah.
She now told him to make a sandwich.
Woo! Imagine being that sad a little person, though. To be able to see her TED Talk about what she's accomplished and how she's inspiring other people, and that's your reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere.
They are.
It's impressive, though. She's impressive.
She did.
When I was 16, throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Sure.
Yeah. nothing nearly as impressive as her. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wake up and pull your head out of your ass!
Speaking of people who accomplish things, we are going to talk to a listener named Lauren. And Lauren is running the Boston Marathon.
Okay.
Oh, that's very impressive.
Right?
Hard to do.
Yeah. Backwards.
What?
He's running the Boston Marathon backwards.
Yay!
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Meaning he's going to start at the finish line and then just run as fast as he can to the start line.
No, he's going to start at the start line and run backwards all the way to the finish line.
That doesn't sound
I assume advisable. Lauren is drawing attention to something other than running backwards.
I hope. His terrible sense of direction?
That would be awful. Nope, just like doing it.
So we'll talk to him today.
Okay.
Also, micro cheating. What is it and are you doing it?
I feel like I need to get in on it.
Not your skill set.
Okay.
At all, really.
World Star Wednesday, which we started with Psycho Mike. Love that. Beer Mug almost got into a fight on an airplane when we went to New York, or came back from New York.
Sure did.
Almost got in a fight.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Beer Mug getting in a fight?
I was witness.
Uh-huh. Did you almost throw down as well? Or
I would have helped him.
You would have?
Yeah.
Defend your boy.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so that's coming up, and we'll talk Super Bowl with Rich Eisen coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
By the way, just announced this week, the 2018 K-Rock All Access Pass. Did you guys see this?
Yes. Unbelievable.
VIP access to the Weenie Roast, the Almost Acoustic Christmas, and an HD radio sound space performance of your choice. And I saw that, and I thought, I guess this station doesn't know we do mother effing April foolishness.
I mean, there's that.
That's not on their radar at all. That's a thing that this, 9 years in a row we've done that's a sold-out event every year that people love.
How are you bad-mouthing this prize? This prize is awesome.
It is awesome.
Weenie Roast you get to go to, Acoustic Christmas you get to go to, and any sound space you want to go to is a great prize.
Fantastic. But they're calling it the 2018 K-Rock All Access Pass. Doesn't that indicate to you that maybe, hey, the big things that we do on the radio station throughout the year, you get to go to all of them?
I mean, sure.
You get to go to all the ones that are important.
I'm not positive the powers that be know we do it.
That was my point. That's all I was saying. I'm not bad-mouthing them. I'm just pointing out that they are unaware that this show is still on the air. Mother effer. Right?
Wow.
I don't know that I'm that upset. No.
All right.
But
hey, it's 5:53, and we are, in fact, still on the air, and Allie's here for What's Happening.
Isn't it sad that I saw that the Powerball lottery is up to $127 million tonight, and I was whatever.
Get back to me in a couple of
weeks. Who cares?
And
Friday night's Mega Millions, $104 million.
Right.
Whatever.
What can you do with that?
What's wrong with us as a people?
I don't know.
When did we become these people? I don't like it one bit. Sure, you guys saw the news yesterday. It broke right after our show, but Glee star Mark Salling was found dead by a riverbed in Sunland. Apparently, they ruled it suicide by hanging. He was Puck on Glee, but most recently you'd know him as a big old pedo. He had recently pleaded guilty to charges of possession of child pornography and was facing 4 to 7 years in prison with 20 years supervised release. His sentencing was scheduled for March 7th. And here's what I need to get more info on. He was facing 4 to 7 years in prison for having over 50,000 images and videos of child porn in his laptop, as well as 4,000 photos and 160 videos of child porn on a USB flash drive. How much do you have to get more than 4 to 7 years?
Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
It's insane.
Am I a bad person because I'm glad he's dead?
Not even a little bit, okay. In my mind. Right. I'm sure there are some people that will say every life matters and
pedophiles.
He could have turned his life around. Nope.
Pedophile.
Not in my book.
Greed.
Someone's quiet.
Someone's erasing stuff on his computer.
I don't disagree with Kevin that I feel, I don't know, he's 35 years old. Is he irredeemable? Is it impossible that he would ever get past that and be a good person? I guess. I guess it's possible. But I understand the feeling of, really, this dude? Let him go. I get that.
Yeah.
I think maybe this is a case of the person you want to be colliding with the person you are when you start trying to evaluate a situation like this.
I don't know what that meant.
I didn't follow that.
I didn't either.
No, what I'm saying is the better part of me would like to say every life is precious and this guy should be given the opportunity to read. He's still got 60 years to live. He can do better. But there's the inner part of me that goes, I'm glad that guy's dead. You know what I mean? Because he's an awful
person. There's only that part of me.
Yeah,
I'm glad
too.
He's dead.
And I want to talk to every parent of the girls I saw online yesterday that were like, oh, my God, but he was so hot. Like, how does that happen?
Really?
Like, oh, sweeties, we need to have a big old sit down with some parents and how they're raising their kids.
Do you think it is possible that this was a reaction to abuse in his own life?
I think the majority of times it usually is. Mm-hmm. So you try and have a little bit of sympathy, but no.
I mean, he could have been severely traumatized,
right?
As a boy himself, and I don't know, you know, that doesn't excuse that kind of behavior because lots of people are and don't go on to become pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's a very messy, complicated, sad issue for sure.
Can I interest you in a reboot of Roswell?
Bean?
Biggest
Roswell fan ever.
I loved that show, and I think, like with everything else, it depends on, you know, who's doing it and who's in it.
Well, no word yet, but the CW has ordered a pilot. This will follow...
If it's a CW, everyone will be hot.
Super hot.
Right.
Absolutely. You are right. It's going to follow the daughter of an undocumented immigrant who reluctantly returns to her tourist trap town and discovers that her teenage crush is an alien masquerading as a police officer.
So we don't know if any of the original people are going to come back and like play the parents of the new hot kids on the show, right? Like Sherry Appleby or anybody like that.
That would be good, right?
Yeah, she was great on that show. Yeah, that was where Katherine Heigl's big breakout was, the Roswell TV show, by the way, if you guys remember.
Was it really?
That's where she became well-known, yeah.
Wow.
Remember, Kevin, we had her on back then for Roswell, and I loved her so much then and loved that show so much.
Yeah.
That you were a little embarrassed.
I was.
What was your favorite part of having Katherine Heigl on back then, Kevin?
I don't remember.
He's shaking his head the whole time you're talking, like, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
By the way, let me tell you who else came out of Roswell that became a good friend of the show and is an outstanding actor is Colin Hanks. That was his show, too. Roswell was
where
he came from.
Love him so much.
It was a real good show with a real good cast.
All right. Well, this I'm convinced is a brand new pilot. No one has heard of this one before.
Now, you've said this before.
Yes.
It's been on like its seventh season, so we don't know how to trust you.
This one was just ordered.
Okay.
But it made me laugh, just the description of it. It's called In the Dark. It's about a blind woman who is the only witness to the murder of her drug-dealing friend. So she and her dog, Pretzel, set out to find the killer while working at Breaking Blind, a guide dog school owned by her overprotective parents. What the
I feel
hell?
Like I'm in on that one.
I want to watch that right now.
What network? This is,
do you know what network?
That's on Saturday Night Live.
This is
CW.
Okay, I'm in.
I mean, doesn't it sound like a short that you would laugh so hard at and be like, how are they making a show out of that? Nope. Real show. Her and her dog, Pretzel, working at Breaking Blind.
Love it.
Guide dog school. That's just quality right there. quality. When we come back, an SNL cast member is headed to the Olympics. What? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about that. But first, some birthdays. Minnie Driver, Justin Timberlake, Marcus Mumford, the singer from Mumford & Sons, Bobby Moynihan, and actress Kerry Washington. And that's what's happening.
In the world, on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 18 minutes after 6.
Our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is going to be joining us just after 7 a.m. Man, he's a great broadcaster.
He sure is.
And such a knowledgeable football guy. And there are some interesting storylines developing for this Super Bowl, as there are for every Super Bowl. By the way, don't you think that everyone who comes in from the 5 degrees outside in Minnesota and goes in and spends the afternoon with 60,000 other people in a petri dish are going to walk back outside into that 5 degrees with the flu or worse?
I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah,
you
get sick from germs, not from changes in weather.
Yeah, germs from 70,000 people that you're in a box with for 6 hours. That's what I'm saying. They're going to be in with all of those people.
But, I mean, that's true of every football game, every event,
any concert.
Every Lakers game, every concert, every everything.
I'm telling you that people do get sick when the weather is dry and low humidity, though. When you add that into the mix,
you're going to have to source that science.
Yeah. Well, you can. I'm telling you, this is a disaster waiting to happen.
It's a disaster.
It's Black Sunday is what it is.
Wow. All right.
I'm gonna be amazed if anyone survives the Super Bowl this weekend.
You don't exaggerate, and that's what I like about you.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out what precautions Rich has taken. I hope he's talking to us through a mask. I'll tell you that when we have him on the program.
Otherwise, dead, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Kevin. Finally, you're coming around. Look, I'm a scientist and
this
a doctor.
This is insane. It went from just saying how great Rich Eisen was to everyone's dying that's going to the Super Bowl.
Because I'm concerned about my friend Rich Eisen. I don't want to lose him to the influenza that's probably heading for him. That's
all I'm saying. Talking about this in New York about how the change in weather could or could not make you sick, and we realized that Allie's mom and dad, both of whom are in the
medical field, but my mother's a nurse,
right.
And she used to say before I'd leave the house, blow dry your hair, you don't want to get sick, and my father would scream from the other side of the house, you don't get sick from changes in temperature, Maureen, you know that, it's germs.
I'm telling you, there's a connection, and I am a doctor, so
no
sit
no.
out.
Huh.
Sit down. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Hey, make me a sandwich.
How dare you? How dare you?
All right. It's time for Allie's life hacks.
Well,
she blew our mind yesterday with something that most of us did not realize.
And I didn't realize when I first saw it. But you all know what life hacks are. Like certain things that you had no idea existed that then change your life for the better. And you had no idea it could have been this easy.
Right.
Like just when you have a soda and you're going to drink it with a straw. Put your straw in the tab and move that tab over, and the straw then doesn't pop out of the soda. Easy, right?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know when you have a soda and you have a straw and then it just keeps popping out of there?
Is it in a cup or a can?
No, in the can.
Okay.
You actually just put the straw through the tab and then move the tab over and it's a straw holder. It never pops out of your drink.
Huh.
That's not even what I'm talking about. That was an example and apparently a bad one.
That was just a freebie.
Okay.
But is there a problem with people not being able to keep their straws in their soda cans?
Yeah, the carbonation pushes the straw right back out.
Huh.
What are you guys new to soda and straws?
No, it just never happened to me in all the years I've had a soda out of it with a straw. But
I also don't drink soda out of a can with a straw. I just drink it out of a can.
All right, listen. Bad example.
Bad example. Okay.
How about when I told Bean about how I make in ice trays, I pour coffee into the ice trays.
Right.
Freeze them. Uh-huh. That way when I have an iced coffee, I don't put actual ice in. I put the coffee cubes
smart.
In. Smart. So it never gets watered down.
That's very smart.
That's a great tip.
That changed my life.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great tip. Although iced coffee is BS and no one should drink it. But if you're going to,
yeah,
that's
the
a good
best.
Idea.
Exactly. Is right, what
so
you're
that's
saying.
That's one free life hack.
Or if you drink wine and it's not chilled enough, you don't want to put an ice cube in it because then you're like, ooh, watered down wine. Frozen grape. Thank you. Good night, everybody. But here's what I saw last week.
A good one, but go ahead.
And when we were in New York, and I literally wanted to call my friend and say, go in my house and see if I have this.
Okay.
Because this is magic. This is a tweet from a man named Mike McLaughlin. I moved into this house in 2008. It always annoyed me that the lower level of the dishwasher wasn't tall enough to fit my biggest dinner plates. Been hand washing them all this time. This week, I discovered you can raise the upper shelf and all my plates fit fine.
Wait,
and
in
all
dishwasher?
All caps, 10 effing years. He's been washing these plates for 10 years because they didn't fit in the bottom. They would hit the top. So dishwasher trays are height adjustable on the top.
Wait, are you talking about the oven? You can change the height.
Yes. Well, we know that. We're not
right.
stupid. Dishwashers. So if you have big plates, you wouldn't be able to close that top tray because they would hit those plates on the bottom.
What?
I'm telling
so
you.
So you can change the level? What?
So you can actually change that top one. So if you want to lower that top one and put wine glasses in, you're fine. You want to, right? He found this because he was Googling something about his dishwasher mm-hmm. for an unrelated matter and found this. And I'm telling you, it was blowing people's minds that also had no idea. Take, for instance,
that's shocking to me.
Elva. Holy crap, it is adjustable. Mine had fortunately been left in the upper position for big plates and cookie sheets, but now I can lower for various crockery. Thank you. Elva's life has changed. Let's move on to Helen. This tweet has changed my life. Been putting plates in on an angle. Constantly on the lookout for smaller plates. That's all over now, but perhaps the biggest life change. And I say kudos you, Mike, for finding this and tweeting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've changed Ian Dunbar for the better.
Okay.
This is his tweet. Nearly moved house on the strength of this massive problem. You, sir, are why the internet was invented. I can now spend more quality time with my family. Hashtag life changing. Did you guys have any idea? I'm talking not like super fancy dishwashers. Mine's a piece of crap.
And you can change the height?
Yeah, the track that's on there. It has these little, like, almost like little wheels. You can switch the wheels onto the track to figure out how high you want that top tray.
I didn't have any idea.
I didn't either, but I also feel like the top tray is pretty close to the top of the dishwasher already.
Well, maybe yours is already set that way.
Yeah, yours might be set at the best position that Ian, Elva, and Mike's wasn't. Also, when you have like taller wine glasses, you can't put them on the top because you can't close it. But now, if you lower the top.
You can lower the top.
Let's just all reflect for a moment about Mike being able to spend more time with his kids. I mean, that's what's really important here.
I mean, it really
is. He was probably spending 2 months a year just trying to figure out how to get those big plates in his dishwasher.
Yeah, things were happening. But I'm telling you, people were losing their minds. He's now in pretty much every newspaper. Bean, you were saying you saw him on the news yesterday?
Yes, I did. I did.
They did a news piece on him.
Well, because as Allie said, people are freaking out that this was a feature in most dishwashers and they didn't know about it. Look, we don't have time now, But it might be interesting to revisit this at another time and have our listeners call in with things that they have discovered or you know, along the way that are life hacks, things that they could not believe they didn't know before.
I like it.
I heard a crazy lady talking about a straw and a soda, for instance.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
Right,
I'm talking about
ridiculous.
Really interesting, helpful things is what I'm talking about.
And let's be honest, we probably shouldn't be using straws anyway. They're a waste.
That's true. They're about to be outlawed in California anyway. But let's do that for another time because, sure, why not? If you got a tip that can help the rest of us, if you got a life hack, I think that'd be fun to hear about, right?
The level in the dishwasher?
You guys know if
and even the old ones?
Even the mine, trust me, mine's
what?
Ancient. Did you know that if you rub a walnut on wood, it'll take away scratches? Like, these are just things people need to know. Exactly.
I think you're making up
stuff
now.
Just rubbing nuts all over wood.
Let's just stick with the dishwasher for today, if you don't mind.
Okay,
good.
What's going on in Lithuania? Have the balls just taken it over? Are they president now? What's happening?
Pretty much. The two younger balls are playing, and I believe LeVar is coaching.
I saw a photo the other day, no joke, because LeVar Ball to me in L.A. is a little bit of a joke and a nuisance.
He's a lot of bit of joke and
more
nuisance.
More than anything. Yeah. But I saw in Lithuania, people were lined up. There were like 100 people in line waiting to get a picture with LeVar Ball. Like he's some sort of actual like celebrity over there.
Not his sons?
No,
just him.
Because he's on TV all the time, I guess, and he's become a popular, you know, popular face. Look,
they haven't caught on to him yet.
Well, I don't know. But you get famous for whatever reason, and people are going to want to have a picture taken with you, I guess. If they recognize you from the TV, they're going to want to talk to you. But whatever he's doing over there, it seems to be working. I mean, his sons seem to be big stars. Lonzo's talking about going over there in the offseason from the Lakers and performing his first rap concert. That may be happening.
You heard him rap?
I have not.
It's not necessary.
Maybe the people of Lithuania will embrace it.
Nope.
No? Okay.
I don't think so. I think we have LeVar on the phone, right? Is that who we're talking to?
Smack talking him all this time. If I'd have known that, I didn't realize that was happening.
When are you going to shut up? Big Ball of Bread hashtag BBB. Woo!
Sorry, LeVar. Didn't realize you were there.
Those mornings. This is one of those mornings, you know,
what?
Where you out there talking about Frank Ocean. I'm the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, Big Ball of Bread. You know them kids. In Paris, California, they get them 13 kids. They've been trapped. They have no idea. They say, "Hey, kids, what's music? I don't know. What's medication? I don't know." They know LeVar Ball, Big Ball of Brand hashtag.
I don't think those kids
true.
That were chained up.
What was that?
What was that?
Oh, you know, I'm just here at the Russian roulette competition that I already put together out here in Lithuania. You know what I'm saying?
No, you don't want to ever play Russian roulette.
Yes, he does.
I mean,
terrible
idea.
Yes,
let the
does.
Man play.
Maybe you don't, but there's plenty of people that want to, especially when they know that Big Ball of Brand is behind it. LeVar Ball has put his name on it. Oh, put your name on it. Hashtag Big Ball.
How are your sons doing in the basketball league over there? I got to be honest, here in America, we don't really follow the outcome of those games much.
Well, I mean, how are they doing? After they're done dunking on LeBron, after they're done making everyone in the game look like a silly fool, they've already taken over the NBA. Now they're taking over the entertainment industry. You know,
they're not in the NBA.
What?
Your boys in Lithuania are not in the NBA.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they got too tired of playing with those chumps of D-League nonsense.
Oh, D-League.
Of already going through the motions of backyard games. You don't know what Steph Curry does in his off time. You know what he does? He goes down to Venice Beach and gets dunked on by all three of my boys.
I think that's a deal. Did somebody just die?
Put your name on it.
Okay,
you don't know anything about the game that I'm playing. I'm playing 3D chess. You straight Parcheesi. You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
no.
I know Allie.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. Mm-hmm. I can just smell it. You're a Gemini.
I am. Wow.
that's you're surprised by that, aren't you, LeVar?
Did you say that?
You're magical. That was pretty good. That was actually impressive.
Ring, ring, ring. Oh, sorry. That's my phone. Hello? Uh-huh. Yeah, Big Ball of Brand. That's right. Oh, that's right. That's
hey,
right,
LeVar.
Mick. That's right, Mick. Okay, I'll meet you and Keith in Manchester. We'll work on
hey,
that.
Hey, LeVar.
The 12 string might be a little
stones.
Indulgent.
Yeah. Hey, LeVar. LeVar, you started that phone call with ring, ring, ring in your own voice. That doesn't really sound...
That's because my ringtone's my own voice.
It is.
Ring, ring.
All right, listen. We have to go, but I want to ask you about one more thing, which is true or false that your son Lonzo, when the Lakers season is over, is going to come to Lithuania and do a rap concert there.
My son Lonzo. Mm-hmm. My son Lonzo's right next to me, okay?
What?
Talk about Dr. Dre, Dr. Pepper,
what?
Dr. Drew, I don't care, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Shut up, Omar. I'm Dr. Put your name on it when you get in the studio. Look, the kid can't play right now, so we're already in Lithuania working on some albums. Isn't that right, Lonzo? Right, working on some
music
with my father.
We can't hear Lonzo.
Elon Musk making flamethrowers. That's the flamethrower right
there. We couldn't understand.
Begotten, not made. He came straight from these Floyds, and now he's spitting fire.
I didn't hear any fire.
I didn't hear any fire either. Could we hear?
I didn't even hear any smoke.
You guys want to hear me freestyle?
Yeah.
Yes, please,
Lonzo.
Hit it. What? The hot tubs and the nightclubs. Champagne, yeah, and them hoes, they know it. Whoop, whoop.
What?
Whoop, whoop. They hoes, they know it, and I'm be ballin'. Triple B, ballin' brand.
Oh.
This is good. And
then girls in the room.
That's not good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I melt your phone?
No.
Son, I'm sorry. Hey, your ears blown right off your head.
No, that was terrible.
I mean, come on. They out here talking about Brie. I'm straight cheddar.
I mean,
can we hurry this up? I'm the head of security for Pippa Middleton.
What?
Put your name on it, BBB.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Rich Eisen from the NFL Network talks all things Super Bowl coming up just after 7. Beer Mug almost got into a fight on a plane coming back from New York. We will discuss that and determine who's right and who's wrong in that situation. And it's a World Star Wednesday, too. It's all coming up on K-Rock. First, Allie, 6:51. What's happening?
Speaking of that trip in planes, we missed this by a day. A six-hour ordeal in Newark.
Oh.
Woman trying to bring her fully grown peacock aboard a United Airlines flight. She claimed it was an emotional support peacock. She had paid for the ticket, but they still wouldn't let the pair board. Apparently, they had talked to the woman three times prior to her making it to the airport, saying, no,
just
size, weight restrictions, no. By the way, peacocks have a wingspan of up to 5 feet.
Holy cow.
This is a big bird. If you saw any of the video or pictures from the bird in the airport, it wasn't in any kind of a container or anything like that. It was just sitting on her luggage.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And they stopped her from getting on.
They sure did.
Love it.
Absolutely.
And they're super noisy, too, peacocks. So I don't know if you guys have spent much time around them.
Yeah.
They are really,
really noisy.
I stayed at a hotel that had peacocks freely just roaming the grounds. I'm like, this isn't good. Every single morning.
That's about
all damn day.
Can I hear some more of that? Wow, that's annoying.
All day.
And more than one?
Oh, yeah, there were like 10. It's ridiculous. By the way, United has seen a 75% year-over-year increase in customers bringing their emotional support animals on flights, as well as, you can imagine, an uptick of onboard incidents, like biting and urination and all that. So I'm not sure how... Right. Let me bite your peacock. I don't know how they're going to solve this other than no animals on board. It's got to come to that.
Well, it would be against the law, though.
But they have to have paperwork and a note from a doctor, I think.
Which you can get from anyone.
No.
Yeah. And how is it against the... I don't get that aspect.
It's
that
against
much.
The law if they are actually guide dogs.
A guide dog is a completely different situation.
Right.
Those dogs are trained.
No animals allowed on a plane, I'm saying it would be illegal for them to prevent people who actually use a guide dog.
Yeah, I meant BS animals.
The emotional support. I think that's what'll happen.
I assume guide dogs are a very, very small percentage.
Very small.
Very small
on planes.
But remember, though, they're not all just for blind people. There are people who use them for medical reasons. Dogs that can, you know, sense when you're having a seizure and things like that. I mean, there are definitely different types of legitimate, you know, medical support animals. But that is, you're right, very different from the emotional. I think that's what is going to happen is I think the people who have abused the privilege have ruined it for everybody else.
Absolutely. I have a friend that has two dogs that he went through the whole guide dog training school. It is so rigorous. It is so serious. And one of them didn't graduate. He had to go back for some more schooling.
Loser.
They put him down.
Killed my friend. My friend was like, this is the worst day of my life. I'm like, the dog doesn't know.
He doesn't know he
failed. Just thinks he's going to have some more classes. Everything's going to be fine. But when you see what those dogs go through, my goodness.
I feel, I know that they are enormously useful for their humans. I worry that those dogs are unhappy and stressed out, though. Do you guys ever think about it from the dog's perspective?
No, because I assume
24/7.
No, I assume they love.
Yeah, they love their owner.
Yeah, they
just.
Yeah, I think that's their life, and they love it.
Yeah, I think that bond is probably more so than any bond you or I have with a dog.
Peacock's
not
happy.
No, Peacock is pissed.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that as a man with a family and two dogs who have gone back and forth from Seattle to New Orleans multiple times in recent years, I have not attempted to put them on a plane and claim they are emotional support dogs, even though that would save me many, many days in a car. Because I don't believe you should abuse that. I think that is only for people who legitimately need it. I have to tell you, it makes my wife very unhappy that I will not do it. She does not want to be in a car with me for 6 days.
It's weird. So I saw this tweet yesterday, and I just loved it so much. It's from David Byrne. He tweeted, "This month I performed with Choir Choir Choir, whose show consists of teaching large groups of total strangers a song arrangement that they then sing together. What happens when one sings together with other people? It's extraordinary." So this group essentially gets a ton of people together. They learn a song, they sing it together, and then these connections and bonds are made. And I think you're going to enjoy this, Bean, because they wound up doing David Bowie's Heroes together.
I will be king, and you will be queen, and nothing. Can be heroes just for one day.
Is Kevin throwing shade at David Byrne?
What?
Do a
What's
buzzer?
Happening?
What? No.
I heard a buzzer.
What are you talking about?
What is wrong with you?
What are you talking about?
I heard eh.
When?
Did that not happen? Right before he said just for one day.
I don't know what you're talking
Check
about.
Check the tape. How dare you? What is wrong with you?
I love that David Byrne.
Me too.
Me too.
You going to see him at Coachella?
Probably.
Oh, really?
Sure.
I'll remind him that you did that. Oh, I'm so angry right now. Do you guys remember during the 2016 Rio Games where Leslie Jones was tweeting up a storm, sending out videos.
Screaming and yelling.
She was really into the women's gymnastic team, right?
It was everything.
It was all of them.
It was pretty much every athlete, every single sport, every day, multiple times a day. People found it very cute.
Sure was funny the first time.
Yeah. Well, apparently that caught the attention of the NBC bigwigs running the Olympics because they have made her part of their Winter Olympics coverage. She's going to be taking off covering some of the games. So you could check that out.
They start next week, right?
Thursday, February 8th. I feel, is it weird? Maybe it's just that with DVRs now, when I tape something, I fast forward.
Right.
I just haven't seen that much about the Olympics this year.
Oh, they've been advertising crazy for 8 years.
Oh, which is odd. Yeah.
That is strange.
That is a 1-2 punch, by the way, for NBC going from the Super Bowl this year, which they have, right into the Winter Olympics.
I'm glad you brought up the Super Bowl, Bean, because directly following the Super Bowl is the This Is Us episode where
we find, right now,
we really see the big deal of Jack and how he dies. And they keep, they keep reminding people on every single commercial, reminder to set extra time because the game might go late. I'm going to tell you right now.
Allie's going to put plus 16 hours.
I can only do plus 2 hours. I said it yesterday and I was like, that game, if it goes over 2 hours, what am I going to do?
You record the next thing. It's not that hard.
No, but you put This Is Us on, and then you have to add the 2 hours to that.
Right.
That's it. That's all I have.
But then after that, you can record something 2 hours later, 3 hours later, 4 hours later, and you can make sure you get it.
Didn't think of that. That is smart.
Life hack. Life hack.
Kevin's life hack. Hey, add more time. Hell of a life hack. What's wrong with you?
DVRs are not difficult,
I've been
right?
So tired for the last. Stop it!
Stop what?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Justin Timberlake! Performing, of course, on Sunday halftime at the Super Bowl. Actress Portia de Rossi, Mini Driver, Mumford and Son singer Marcus Mumford, Sex Pistols Johnny Rotten, actor Bobby Moynihan, and actress Kerry Washington. That's what's happening.
Rich Eisen is next, talking Super Bowl.
All right, they're going to let us know when Mr. Eisen gets on the phone. Let me revisit a thing that I brought up an hour ago, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong about this.
Mm-hmm.
The 2018 K-Rock All Access Pass has just been announced, and it's spectacular. You can go to krock.com, by the way, for all the details and a chance to enter to win this. You win, if you get the All Access Pass, you get all access to the greatest things that K-Rock does all year long, including the Weenie Roast, including Acoustic Christmas, including an HD radio sound space performance of your choice. Those are the things we do down the hall in a little room where it's a big, big band, tiny little room, and you get to be there up close and personal.
That's
so
pretty
you get
awesome.
You get all of that. One person gets all of that as part of the All Access Pass. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm saying. Don't we still do April Foolishness?
Well, we haven't announced
isn't that a show,
it yet.
Right, but we have about 9 years in a row, the closest Saturday to April 1st, we put on one of the best comedy shows in Southern California, right?
Right, right.
Raise a lot of money for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous
mm-hmm.
evening out.
Right.
I would say that it is it's one of the three biggest events that K-Rock does all year long.
Right.
Along with the Weenie Roast Acoustic Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
How about little Kevin and Bean Love for this? How about including, how about elevating our show to the level of the other things that the station is doing?
Don't be ridiculous.
And make it a part of the giveaway is what I'm saying.
I'm saying choose to not get your feelings hurt. If you tell them that we want to give away some tickets for Foolishness, they'll add it.
Why didn't they think of that? Why wasn't there a meeting where they said, hey, let's come up with this all-access pass for the listeners of the radio station. What are the big things that we do every year?
Well, we do the Weenie Roast.
Yeah, that's right. Let's put that in there.
Hey, we do Acoustic Christmas.
All right, yeah, let's put that in. I guess that's it. Why didn't there was nobody around who said, hey, guys, don't we still have a morning show?
I'd like to hear some more of the meeting recreation, please.
Who are the – don't we still have those white guys on that talk every morning? I mean, nobody remembered that? Nobody thought about us? Look, I don't know why you're not offended by this.
Because it doesn't really matter. But listen, you can win tickets to the Weenie Roast and Almost to Kiss of Christmas and the sound stage of your choice.
And those are any great, and they absolutely should be included. They should be part of the mix. But all I'm saying is April Foolishness is a great event,
right?
Not because of anything to do with us, except we do, you know, reach out and have our friends, the comedians that play the show and everything. Why not? Why shouldn't that be part of this? And by the way, while we're on the topic,
I got another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Breakfast with, like, nothing for that.
You know what?
Right?
Lady's not wrong.
Right?
Lady's not wrong.
Hmm.
It's like we don't exist.
It's like we don't even exist. I mean, granted.
Are we positive that this is still being broadcast?
No idea.
Are in our 29th year doing the morning show on K-Rock.
Yeah, but maybe we've been off for like 5 years and we just don't know it and we just keep showing up. They don't have the heart to tell us.
Well, then we should be doing this much later in the day then if nobody's hearing it. All right. So having said that, now let me say this. Mm-hmm. And this is, and I apologize that we're getting behind the going behind the scenes here on this, but I've been thinking about this a lot. For years, you have been driving around Los Angeles and seen radio station advertisements all over the city. Hey, look, there's Seacrest. Hey, look, it's Big Boy. Hey, look, it's Woody. Hey, look, it's, you know, whoever else is doing the billboards there. All over the place. Mm-hmm. All the radio stations, all the personalities. There's never Kevin and Bean. You don't ever see Kevin and Bean. We don't exist. Well, this year, 2018, new owners, new money, rolling out a campaign.
Why are you so bitter?
It's not that I'm bitter. I'm just noticing that they're rolling out billboards for the first time in like 20 years.
I'm happy
Kevin.
About that.
I am happy about that. Billboards all over town advertising the world-famous K-Rock, which is great.
Okay.
How about a tiny little corner of one billboard somewhere that mentions Kevin and Bean?
I'm just saying.
Just point out that, hey, we do have a morning show.
Right.
Hey, but we got guys on the radio to entertain you every morning when you get
up. I'm just saying.
Acknowledge it.
Upside.
Yeah.
Laying low. Let's start getting away with some crap.
I like it.
Right?
Let's show up at like 8.
Why not?
Leave at like 9.
Why not? We can play that No Roots song 8 more times in the morning.
Look, I'm not...
Don't be bitter, Bean. It's okay. It's all good.
I'm not being
bitter. It's a
great
prize. I'm glad they're advertising K-Rock. It's all good.
I'm not being bitter.
All good.
I'm just saying... Am I wrong, though, to say that we're part of the station? We're part of the station. We're technically on the air on K-Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least give me that.
We think?
I just... Look, I'm just saying, just remember us. That's all. Keep in mind that we're here, too. And we would love whoever gets to go see these other, the Weenie Roast Acoustic Christmas and the Sound Space Conference, we'd love them to be at our April Foolishness show, too. Why not enjoy that? Why eliminate one of the best events of the whole year from that winter? And the worst part of all, and then we'll wrap it up, is that...
I hope so. I'm tired of hearing you complain.
It's a filibuster.
I'm very upset by this.
Hold on one second, B. Hey, Muggs, come in here. All right, go ahead.
The worst part of all is that I bet they never even thought of it. It's not that somebody said, hey, April Fool is just, no, we don't want to put that on there because we're trying to keep it all music-based or whatever. I bet it never occurred to them that Kevin and Bean have an event that has been sold out for 9 years in a row.
Dude, you good?
What?
You good?
What do you mean?
Things all right with you?
I don't understand.
Seem to be pretty upset about a lot of things.
Well, I'm just pointing these things out.
Right, it's okay.
The better question is, why aren't you upset by it?
Don't care.
Allie, you tell me. Am I in the wrong to have these feelings?
I think you're in the right to have those feelings. I think it could be brought up, I don't know, not on the air, and maybe handled differently. But, I mean, it's nice to see you care, and it's nice to hear you so passionate about your job. Mm.
The beautiful thing about bringing up it on the air is that nobody who works at K-Rock will ever hear it. So it's really like we're just having this conversation amongst ourselves. Because believe me, none of the suits are going, hey, you know what? Bean's, is his name Bean? That guy is talking on the radio. He's right. Maybe we should include them in something to do with a radio station. All right. I'll stand down.
Muggs is here.
Hey, guys.
Oops.
Oh.
Hey, Muggs.
Hi.
So you got in a fight on a plane?
Oh,
explain
man.
That to us quickly.
Well, yeah. We're doing that when we come back,
yeah,
right?
Why don't we drop
we got to take
now.
A break now. We're
because
out of time
we don't
now.
Have, because
I
have,
waste it all the time.
What a waste of time that was. Muggs got in a fight on a plane.
And we want to talk about it, but we don't
hey,
have time
what about
now.
Us? How come nobody cares about us?
Right, we'll talk
so we're not doing Muggs, and we're not doing Rich Eisen.
Mm-mm.
So that whole thing was just being complaining?
Yep.
Mission accomplished. Great news, you guys. We found Rich Eisen.
All right.
Host of the Rich Eisen podcast on the NFL Network. You can see it on DirecTV, on Uverse, on the apps, on the TV. And he is in Minneapolis. Super Bowl LII is Sunday. How are you, Rich? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
You got it. Sorry I'm a few minutes late. It's my Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
we understand you're very busy. We're glad you were able to squeeze us in. How's it feel a few days out, Rich?
It's I don't know. To be honest with you, I've got my set that's across the street from U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm looking at it right now. It's cold out.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Row this year is in, you know, there's two ways to look at it. The most unique place or the oddest place possible. It's in a food court at the Mall of America.
All right.
I saw the pictures of that. I couldn't believe
it. I went there yesterday, and it reminds me that I'm being in the food court that I think Better Call Saul is starting up shortly. I think season 3.
Exactly.
He's just looking to see Jimmy McGill break, you know, take a break from the Cinnabon and witness protection to see what's going on at Radio Row. It was
good reference.
But that's about it, you know. I mean, honestly, there's a Super Bowl city that's built in the middle of the town, but it's freaking cold.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know how many people are availing themselves of it.
Rich, you have the Lombardi Trophy sitting 2 feet away from you all week long during your radio show. And I want to know, as a guy who's loved football your whole life, is that still a thrill to come in and see that every morning?
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. My favorite part about it is when it arrives. It arrives in a crate that you open up, and then the thing you see is a Lombardi Trophy cutout in foam, filled up by a blue Tiffany's bag because it's made by Tiffany's.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in a blue bag just like anything that you buy in that store. And you take it out, and then you have to put on these white linen gloves to hold it. that's by rule. Years ago, when we had it as when I was doing the NFL Network's daily shows from the Super Bowl, back the last time the Patriots were playing the Eagles to go back to back, as a matter of fact, we had that on the set. And I asked Terry Bradshaw, who was a guest at the time, what it felt like to lift that trophy four times. And he goes, well, you know, it's been a while. And as he got up to go grab it without any gloves, a member of the security staff jumped on the stage in a yellow slicker on live television.
Love it. Did they trank dart him to the ground?
It really, they almost hog tied him and threw him down. Yeah, I mean, so it's serious business.
That's funny.
It's really great.
I would put that on a necklace and I'd just walk around Minneapolis with it.
Like Flavor Flav.
Flavor Kevin.
Rich, I want to ask you one more non-Super Bowl question, then I'm going to shut up and let Kevin and Allie ask you all the Super Bowl stuff they want. Because you're a broadcaster who has broken many a scoop in your time on the air. What did it feel like to just have done an interview with Alex Smith of the Chiefs? And I felt like he was being straight up with you. I mean, at least it seemed legitimate. And he was like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm done with the Chiefs or not. And then like 4 hours later, the news comes down that he's going to the Redskins. Yes. How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like, to pull another pop culture reference, remember that scene from The Fugitive, where Tommy Lee Jones looks at his staff and says, Dr. Nichols lied to me. Get him back in front of me. Get him back in front. He lied. He's such a good dude, though. I mean, you can't blame him. He was doing his obligation, his media obligation on behalf of FedEx, which has a relationship with the USO Tour. Mm-hmm.
But you were so close to breaking a huge trade.
Well, here's the thing is I'm sure it was close when he showed up here. And I'm sure, those things are dicey, certainly when we're talking about $71 million guaranteed dollars. I mean, there were T's being crossed and I's being dotted, I'm sure, as he was here. So part of me is thinking he was telling the truth that he didn't know was going to happen. But, he definitely was close when he was here. That was freaky. That was crazy.
All right. Fair enough. Talking to Rich Eisen from The Rich Eisen Show on AT&T Audience Sports, DirecTV, the podcast, the whole deal. Guys, what do you want to ask Rich about the Super Bowl this weekend? Allie, how are you feeling about your Patriots?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. But have you at all given some consideration, and that the love of your life is indeed a Patriots fan, have you at all just come over just inch by inch every year to the dark side?
Well, here's a scoop, is that I'm born and raised in New York, mm-hmm. and I went to the University of Michigan, mm-hmm. and the Patriots are quarterbacked by perhaps the most perfect person on planet Earth, who went to that institution of higher learning.
Mm-hmm.
I could not keep my children if I told them they had to, while the Patriots were going to 7 Super Bowls in 15 years, root for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
That would have, I think, triggered some form of child services.
Right. Okay, good.
But in your heart, but deep in your heart.
Yeah.
He's a Jets fan. He has no heart. He just told you that.
No, I mean, look, I'm a lead pipe wielding professional, so I'm hoping for a close game. That's what I want. I want like last year when it was 28-3, Atlanta was up.
The worst.
I was sitting there, my brother-in-law was accusing me of having, a good time at his expense because he's a Patriot fan. It's like my wife, obviously.
Right.
But I was actually like, 28-3 was not much to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the second half and overtime, we're talking about it
changed.
All time, great moment. Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm glad. So, I'm glad. You can at least fake it.
But you should be a little nervous because the Eagles are pretty damn good.
I am. They might be a team of destiny for some reason.
I got to tell you, I haven't met many people that agree with me, but for some reason, I just feel like the Eagles are going to blow them out.
Really?
I really do.
I think that's nuts, but
14, 17 points. I mean, I really think they're going to.
That, I mean, the temperature of that hot take.
Yeah, I don't. I need to put it back in. Cook it some more, Kevin.
I'm not
kidding. Is not done.
When I'm right, you can all apologize.
Well, we're saving the tape, I'll tell you that.
I had no idea that Kevin and Bean was now Skip Bayless and Bean. What the hell was that?
That's the harshest thing you could ever say.
Hey, Rich, we're going to let you go in a minute, but I want to ask you what's...
Stephen A. and Bean.
Come on now. Okay. I want to ask you, I'm sure this is a dumb question.
By the way,
because...
hold on. When the Eagles win by 21, you're going to call us on Monday, and you're going to say, I'm sorry you
call
were right.
Back.
All right, fair enough.
We will have, listen, I love being on your show anytime. I don't know if it requires an unforeseen blowout to do that, but I'd be more than happy to revisit.
All right.
More than happy.
When you're walking around the streets of Minneapolis, do you see Patriots fans who have traveled or Eagles fans who have traveled?
I can't tell because we're all bundled up.
Oh, yeah, everyone's right. In big coats, right. Yeah.
Nobody's walking around in a jersey when it's, you know, 10 degrees out. I mean, yeah. It's kind of, again, it's unique. I'm watching snow falling off the side of U.S. Bank Stadium, literally, as I'm talking to you right now.
Well, thank God this is an indoor game. Thank God.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, the town is fired up, despite being a little bit bummed that their team could have been here. So it's an interesting red carpet being rolled out. And they're I think, more welcoming of Patriot fans because the way things kind of went down in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of those fans. But, you know,
those stories that we keep seeing about people pulling their Airbnbs offline so Eagles fans have no place to stay and stuff like that. Is that just apocryphal or is that really happening, Rich?
I don't think that's happening, actually.
Okay. Because
really
it's too much money to walk away from if you can rent out your place for a week for $2,000, right?
Exactly. Let's put it that way. At least rent the place out and then turn the heat off on them.
There you go. All right.
Heat and water.
If you want to be devious. But, yeah, but it's great. It's just another fun week here. You know, I'm doing three more shows this week. We're going to stick around for the day after here in Minnesota. I'm on from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific.
So that's on Audience Sports, right?
Today, too, I'm also pretty excited because my show has a relationship with Funny or Die, where you should check it out on our Twitter feed and our app, but, you know, at Rich Eisen Show and at Funny or Die. We created last week a pill for teams that take on the Patriots during the playoffs called Patriovix that you have to consult your doctor to see if it's right for you to avoid the pitfalls. And then later today, we're putting out a video about a documentary about a guy who's not really talked about in the NFL, the guy who holds the replay monitor for the officials during the replays.
Finally, he's getting some love.
That's an important dude.
He may or may not look exactly like Joe Latrullio of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But that's coming out later today, and it's really freaking funny.
All right, so if the Eagles win by 14 or more, Kevin, is that fair to say? Then
sure.
Rich comes back on Monday's show.
And apologizes.
Yes. I love it.
I hope not to hear from you.
Yes,
exactly. All right, Rich, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Take care.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Coming up in the 8 a.m. hour here on K-Rock, what is micro-cheating, and are you guilty of it? We'll find out. Plus, we're going to talk to a man who is getting ready to run the Boston Marathon backwards.
The whole thing backwards.
The entire thing. Mm-hmm. Running backwards, yes.
Yeah.
And he's never done it before, right? This is his first attempt, as far as I know.
Don't know.
Okay. We'll catch up with that young man coming up right after 8. First, though, Michael D. Catherwood. Good morning.
Hi, everyone.
It seems to be Wednesday.
Hump Day, World Star!
World Star Wednesday on Hump Day. Scream, hip, hip, hooray. World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy. Yeah. Let's see what we have for you today.
World Star!
The site is worldstarhiphop.com, and it's your homepage, Mike, and that's why you're always so delighted with some of the videos you find there.
The most important news site there is.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
This first clip, I don't necessarily know how I feel about it. There's a teacher being blackmailed by a kid who walked in on him watching porn in his classroom.
Oh no!
So I certainly don't want the kids to think that they could blackmail their teachers. But then I thought to myself, don't be watching porn at school.
Right, that's a given.
I feel weird watching porn here.
Right, you should.
Right, check this out.
Next time you open your big stinking mouth, pal, I will write you up and send you to the office for coming into my room without permission. Is that clear? What I watch as an adult is my choice. You, as a child, wait in the hall until you're invited into my room. Is that clear?
I'm not putting up with this. And he tried to blackmail me.
Oh, yeah, it's the kid's fault.
Oh,
yeah.
My, he's essentially like, wait till I'm done, kid.
So they,
what
that's
ass.
Disgusting.
Other kids start filming. He marched, the teacher marches the principal in and puts the kid on blast. Like, he, I mean,
wow.
I'm.
Wow.
And if you're going to come in, kid, bring me a napkin.
Everybody's crazy.
A lot of girls, they like to make a big issue about providing a certain service for their male partners. Mm-hmm. You know, they might have lost their contact in their partner's lap. You know, if we don't say
sure.
There's a certain service. This girl is an example to all women, does not care. Check this out.
The woman who recorded herself performing a sex act inside the Duval County Courthouse is now wanted by police.
Those posts don't mention the warrant for her arrest.
Okay, wait.
Wait a minute.
Champion.
In the courthouse?
She is there with her boyfriend who's waiting to see the judge for lewd and lascivious behavior.
Oh.
So she says, I'm going to film myself in court. Making sure that he's happy and relaxed.
She's making sure he's relaxed. She's doing a service.
Champion.
Right.
After she recorded herself engaged in a sex act with a man here at the courthouse, now both of them are wanted for what JSO calls an unnatural and lascivious act.
Oh, unnatural.
Well, I think that's what just
rude.
Is
that unnatural?
Right?
Pretty darn natural.
Well, maybe it was her technique. We don't know.
True.
Yeah.
It's true.
Allie with the brain.
That's a judgment on the amount of teeth being used.
Oh, man.
It was implied. And
I feel like that was Allie's joke, but then...
I'm with you, Bean.
Move on.
This kid in Britain wants to call in sick to school. He lets his dad do it. This guy's about 50,
mm-hmm.
and he films himself calling in sick for his 11-year-old son. Listen to this.
How old are you?
I'm 3, nearly 6. I'm a big boy now.
How old are you?
I'm 3, nearly 6. How old are you?
Who are you with?
I'm a dog. My mum's upstairs. He's sleeping bad. Lazy pig, isn't she?
What's up? Why? What?
How can you just call in as the dad and say, I'm calling in because my son is sick?
I think...
Why is he pretending to be the kid?
I don't know, but...
Let the guy live! I love him.
I think he was just waiting to use that voice, which I'm okay with. I encourage you listening to get very close to your speaker. Turn up the volume. All of us hold our headphones very close.
Okay.
Listen to this weatherman. Try to just play it off like we don't hear this.
88 Mobile, Fair Help, 88 Pensacola. Destined at 88 and 89 degrees.
And he has the audacity to put his butt off camera like he's...
It won't pick up on
Mic. Like it's not gonna, like the boom mics aren't gonna get it if we can't see it.
Let's hear that one more time.
Yes, please.
88 Mobile, Fair Help, 88 Pensacola. Destined at 88 and 89 degrees.
Mike, this must be so personally offensive to you because you are a guy who demands credit if you fart.
No, I would have taken my lapel mic to my ass if I made sure
and
that
then
everyone
you would have waved it toward the camera.
Oh gosh.
World Star Wednesday. Everybody's crazy.
I'm wrapping this up with a clip that you are going to swear can't be real.
Okay.
But this is the biggest printing error ever committed in any school. Okay? This is truly unbelievable. Listen to this.
Monday, her teacher sent home a spelling list with students that contained a racial slur. This is how the word was supposed to read, bigger. But instead, the word began with the letter N.
My daughter said to me, she said, I know that word, and I know what that word means. She said, but does this supposed to be on my paper?
She went to speak with the teacher.
And I said, well, you didn't spell check your word, you didn't proofread your word before you sent it out. And she said, well, it is a word.
That's not the answer!
No.
How do you not proofread a spelling word?
And let's say just by some weird chance, I mean, I did look at the keyboard, B and N are right next to each other.
They are,
okay.
Right.
Okay, so by some weird chance you do that. Mm-hmm. That's not your answer.
No.
You say, I can't believe how sorry I am. It was totally an accident. I mean, please, if you could forgive me, that's just, it was a horrible accident.
It is a word.
Hard to argue with.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy. World Star!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes till 8.
That means it's time for Allie McKay and what's happening.
You know, I love James Corden. I'm partial to the carpool karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great segment that he does. But I think my all-time favorite segment that he started on his show was Drop the Mic, where he has one of his guests come on and they do a rap battle and they go after each other. And then out of this, of course, came the show on TBS, Drop the Mic, where he's been on a couple times, but he mostly lets other celebrities take each other on. But
that's our friend Jensen Karp.
Yeah.
Who writes almost all of that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, last night, James Corden took on an Academy Award winning, BAFTA winning Dame Helen Mirren. She's 72.
I love that she does this.
What are you going to bring? And how is she going to smack it down? Well, we have a little taste for you.
Off with his head. You f***ed up, James, you desperate tater tot. A woman's worth is in credits, or who says she's hot? Boys club bull. I'm done with that crap. You're welcome for this headline. Helen Mirren can rap. To Meryl, Judy, Maggie, but why? They're not my competition, they're my ride or die. See, women are a force to be reckoned with, and I reckon I wrecked you. You've been to hell and back, bitch.
Goodness.
She has become
That's awesome.
The rapping granny in the wedding planner.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like it. My favorite line that I wasn't sure it was going to make the clip, but I just need to let you know what it is. During one of the reps, James Corden brought up how she dates a bunch of younger guys, but then they break up with her, whatever. She says, he's obsessed with my exes. Sorry, James, I'm not single. But you know I taught your little mister to tingle. Oh, my. Helen Mirren.
I love that.
She's just magic. It's good stuff. I was not aware of this, but no Glastonbury Music Festival this summer in the UK.
Why?
They take about every 6 years off because it's at a working dairy farm. So every 6 years or so, they kind of give it a break so they can catch up on stuff, let the grounds, you know, regrow, whatever. Why? Well, I just told you, because it's a working dairy farm. So that was kind of the deal with having Glastonbury there, that they would do this every 6 years. So
why?
Well, I just told you. So this is an off year.
Okay.
So the BBC is stepping up with something called the biggest weekend ever. So that's going to be in England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland. And so far.
Why?
Again, because there's no Glastonbury. So far, three of the headliners, but more big names to be announced soon.
Okay.
Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
And Noel Gallagher.
Okay.
Maybe that's not for you. Maybe you want to head down to Portugal, July 12th to the 14th.
Why?
Well, this is another music festival. It's, I believe, called Nos Alive, N-O-S, Nos Alive, Nos Alive, whatever. Here's who's playing. Pearl Jam. Arctic Monkeys, Nine Inch Nails.
Wow.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Wow.
The National, Portugal the Man, Jack White, Franz Ferdinand. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
With that lineup?
Why?
Well, because it's a festival in Portugal.
That sounds pretty cool.
That's an amazing lineup. But we all know where Bean is headed this summer.
Oh, where am I headed this
summer?
Is
there a festival at the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
There is not.
Wish I could have said that better, even.
Because I believe that would be just underwater.
Yeah.
That would be hard to reach.
Yeah.
But we should look into that.
Yeah.
Why?
This is an event happening at Hyde Park. Do you know about this, Bean?
Which one is this?
Can I have to give more details?
Because I knew about the Taylor Swift one. I was very excited about that previous, the biggest show ever. But tell me what's going on at Hyde Park.
A big show with James Taylor and Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, that one. Yeah, is that July 18th?
It is July 15th.
Yeah.
Very close. But not just those two. It is also Paul Simon's last concert ever. It is his farewell show at London's Hyde Park. He's done. He's 76 years old. He's like, gotta go. I'm finished. But what a lineup. Paul Simon, James Taylor, and Bonnie Raitt.
Why?
Well, it's his last show. He wants to go out with a bang. Bean, you've got to go to that, right?
I will tell you that Paul Simon is in my five favorite singers of all time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And, yes.
Your five favorite singers of all time seems to include about 45 people.
Nope. Paul Simon has always been there since the beginning.
I want a list. I want a full list at some point in the future.
And I'm sure that will be a terrific and emotional show, and I hope that they record it, since I will probably be able to be there. But I would definitely like to see it. It's weird to think about musicians retiring.
Yeah.
Why? They just don't seem to. They seem to play as long as they can. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, somebody walks away, and I guess Paul feels like it's done.
Yeah, Paul's hanging it up. We talked about Elton John. Of course, he's giving himself 3 years and 300 right? shows. Neil Diamond can't tour anymore because of his diagnosis. I think Slayer, this is their last year of touring.
Farewell tour, that's right, yeah.
And someone else big that I was kind of bummed about.
Yeah, yeah, there have just been a bunch of them lately where they've just said they're hanging it up. They're over, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But Smash Mouth is still out there, you guys.
Why?
Well, somebody once told me. You guys, I don't often do any Kim Kardashian stories, but this one I thought I would do. She posted a picture of her on her Instagram with Bo Derek braids and referred to herself as Bo West. And, of course, the Twitterverse went nuts. They claimed that was cultural appropriation. That comes from ancient Africa, the cornrows. It's not a 70s sex symbol. They didn't start it. And then Lindsay Lohan gets in on it. And she writes on her Instagram, "I'm confused." To which Kim writes back, "You know what's confusing? Your sudden foreign accent." And I was like, okay, you know what? Wow. I'm doing that story because, god damn it, Kim.
It's hard
that
to be on her side,
fantastic.
But that's pretty good.
Oh, huh. Legit cheered when I saw that story.
Hmm.
I mean, it's hard to root for either of them at this point,
right.
But that's pretty good. That's some good stuff. Want to talk about some birthdays?
Sure.
We've got Justin Timberlake, Portia de Rossi, Minnie Driver, Marcus Mumford, Johnny Rotten, Bobby Moynihan, and actress Kerry Washington. And that's what's happened.
We were surprised to find out not all that long ago on the show, remember, Allie, that Kevin is a runner.
Yeah, that was weird.
How dare
weird all
that?
Of you?
Well, because we were asking how you can eat a 1,000 calories of chocolate every morning
right.
and why you aren't the fattest guy in the world. And
right.
you said, well, I run. And
I run.
Got
it. Well, it's two things. I run and also really lucky DNA
mm-hmm.
right. for my dad who was skinny as a light.
How far do you run? Do you like go out and do 2 miles? Do you do 10? What are you doing?
Man, let's not push it. Probably a mile to three, depending on how I feel.
Do you think you could run a marathon if you trained for it for a few months?
No.
Because I know that I could.
No, I don't really. No.
I mean,
no.
That is hard to do.
I don't think I would want to.
If I had a bear chasing me, I couldn't run a marathon.
Well, you would just roll up into a ball and go ahead.
I would just say goodnight. There's a man who has not only already run 7 marathons, but he's getting ready to run one backward. Here's what the news had to say about our new friend Lauren.
This video is not being played backward.
The number one thing I hear is, you're going the wrong way.
This from a man who once rode a bike with his father at age 12 from San Francisco to L.A. to raise money for epilepsy, the disease that took his older brother at age 7.
Losing a son, I think he felt very lost for several years, and he found a lot of strength and help from the epilepsy community.
He's run an Ironman in 7 marathons, and when he reached his difficult goal of qualifying for the Boston Marathon, he decided to go big, opening up the Guinness Book of World Records.
The majority of the records have to do with different costumes. I don't want to run a marathon dressed as a frog.
He picked running the fastest marathon backward.
Lauren, come on, a frog!
That would have been pretty funny.
That would be awesome!
Or a clown. I don't want to do that.
Wow, so many questions, Corey. First of all, welcome to the Kevin Meet Show. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For coming on. We
appreciate
it.
And thanks for having me. I've been a big fan. I've been listening for years, so it's amazing to be talking to you. I just didn't know I'd be talking about running backwards.
Well, that sure. is odd, yes.
And I want to get the website out first thing so people know that they can donate and get more information at bostonbackwards.com. Bostonbackwards.com. Now, in the history of marathons, and of course the Boston Marathon being one of the most famous in the world, I'm sure others have run it backwards, right?
Yeah, so there is a existing Guinness World Record for the fastest marathon run backwards.
That's shocking to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, apparently backwards running is popular in certain parts of the world, in China and Europe. They actually have a backwards running world championship every year.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it's true.
What is the record? What is the Boston Marathon record for running backwards?
It is 3 hours, 43 minutes, and 39 seconds.
What? Sounds like a great frontwards time.
Yes. It works out to about 8 minutes and 30 seconds per mile average pace.
Wow.
No, sir.
No, sir. I deny that. That seems impossible. So what's the strategy for being able to see where you're going while you're running?
So it's very high tech. I literally just turn my head around.
No, you don't. You have to wear a hat with some mirrors or something. No.
You know, since I've been telling people, you know, what I was planning on doing, I've gotten so many suggestions. You know, people talk about the mirrors, or they say, you know, you should reach out to Caltech and see if they'll develop some sort of goggles, you know, with digital monitors and a camera on the back of your head. But, you know, I've been fine just turning my head.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
My neck hasn't been fine.
You're going to run right into something or someone.
So how much training have you done for this? You've never run that distance backwards, right?
No. I mean, at one time, the furthest I've run backwards is 14 miles. So, you know, it's quite a few miles.
It's about the same.
Yeah.
I think it's like 26.2. Oh,
but yeah. I mean, but that's not unusual for people who are training for marathons, is to not run the whole 26.2 until they get there, right? Just to get close.
Right, right. I want to get up to like 22 miles backwards. Since mid-December, where I really kicked off my training, I've done over 180 miles backwards.
Oh, wow.
Wait, you said you wanted to get up to 22 in training. Why not just do 26.2? That's only another 4 miles.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm going to be running the L.A. Marathon in March, at least maybe the last 20 to 22 miles backwards.
Unbelievable. Wow. All right, forgive me if this is a dumb question, Lauren.
There's no dumb questions.
No, there are. And we'll
you said them. You listened.
And you know that. You know, especially I'm going to have some dumb questions. The human body is designed to do certain things well. Running backwards seems to, in my mind, is counter to how those muscles are situated in your legs. Does it create additional strain? Is it way, way harder physically to do in addition to just being awkward?
It is absolutely harder. I mean, running backwards is very difficult. In fact, there was a study done in Italy a few years ago, and they determined that you require about 30% more energy running backwards than forward. So it's not efficient. And, you know, I've run so many miles backwards now that I really know that it's tough on my calves, especially, and my glutes. They are both sore all the time. Whereas forwards running is really tough on the knees, the hamstrings, which I don't get any pain at all in my knees and hamstrings. It's really my calves. They are.
What about your head and your back and your butt when you run into someone or something?
I ran into a tree once.
Oh,
sure.
I have not injured any third parties yet, though. I have not run into anybody.
Tell us why you're doing this. Tell us about Brian.
So I lost my brother Brian to epilepsy. He was 7 years old. He went into nonstop seizures in his sleep, and as a result, he passed away. And for the last 20 years, my dad and I have been raising money for the Epilepsy Foundation and people and families affected by epilepsy. And we've actually been doing a different athletic event every year for the last 20 years. It started when I was 12. Mm. We rode our bikes from San Francisco all the way down to L.A.
Like you do, Kevin.
Sure. Yeah.
We did a cross-country bike ride from L.A. to Washington, D.C. in 2006.
Holy cow.
And yeah, I'm doing this for just the countless people I've met with epilepsy, families affected by epilepsy. Epilepsy is so underfunded.
I was going to ask you about that. Are they close? Are they nowhere near close?
Is what close?
To getting solved, you know, to get a cure for epilepsy.
You know, there's just not enough funding for research. I mean, there is funding, but compared to other comparable or even less prevalent diseases and disorders, it doesn't get that funding. And, and the big reason is because there's a huge stigma that still exists with epilepsy. People are afraid to talk about it.
You know, really?
Why?
Seizures are scary. Anytime anyone, you know, can't control their body, it's scary for people. And so people affected by epilepsy or people with epilepsy, they don't want to tell their friends or their coworkers, and they're also afraid of losing their driver's license or the ability to, you know, operate heavy machinery in their job.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense. Well, you and your family, I understand, have raised over $250,000 for people living with epilepsy, and a lot of that money going to research to help find a cure for better programs and whatnot. Again, the website is bostonbackwards.com. Lauren, I am going to go on the website immediately after this interview and make a contribution, and I'm going to urge our listeners to do the same because this is wonderful work you're doing.
Well,
and
when
is your marathon? When's the Boston Marathon, Lauren?
It is April 16th. So
can we talk to you afterwards and see how it went?
That would be awesome. I would love to come back on and tell you about it. And hopefully I can talk about beating the world record.
Fantastic.
That's crazy. Right. I mean, not only you're doing it backwards, but you're willing to try and beat the world record.
I say if he doesn't break it, he doesn't come on.
Don't call back?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have no time for losers on this show.
I'm kidding, Lauren.
Yeah, you guys like winners. I'm also documenting all my training on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You know, all the falls and the highs and the lows. And
all fantastic.
Is it all awesome. Boston backwards?
Yeah, you can find the link there, or you can just search. You can search Boston Backwards on social media, or you can search Backwards Guy, and you'll find me.
All right, sounds great, Lauren. Thanks for coming on today. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Thanks.
Here's the opening paragraph of this article from Bustle.com. When it comes to infidelity, whether or not someone has cheated isn't always black and white. But now there's a new term floating around, micro-cheating. It might complicate matters even further. What is micro-cheating? It's a nifty new word used to describe all the little ways that someone might cheat on their partner without technically doing so. So you can cheat while not cheating? Yes, that's what we're talking about. All right, here's the news from CBS New York.
It's the hot topic on the internet right now. Micro-cheating.
33 ways your boyfriend is micro-cheating and totally getting away with it. Micro-cheating is like the little white lie of cheating.
Micro-cheating refers to a small series of actions that don't quite meet the definition for cheating.
So, for example,
frequent confiding with somebody outside of the marriage.
The micro-cheater might rationalize this as just talking to a friend. But psychologist Barbara Greenberg says this is actually a very intimate act.
The difference between a friendship and micro-cheating is friendships are usually not kept secret.
Okay, now that's the first thing that was said in this report that started to bring this into focus for me. Because if I have a conversation with a friend who happens to be a woman about anything and don't tell my wife about it, I don't think that's me cheating. That's me having a relationship with a friend, right?
Agree.
But I guess what the doc is saying is as long as I'm not going out of my way to keep that conversation a secret, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But once all of a sudden it's special between me and this friend, now my wife's got a reason to be upset. Am I reading that correctly?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And do we agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear some more.
But when you're talking to somebody and keeping it secret, that starts to meet the definition of micro-cheating.
Other examples of micro-cheating, according to the experts, calling or texting a friend for information or advice on an issue that could easily be found online.
I mean, I do often text models and say, what is the population of North Dakota? You know, just because I thought they might know. Where do you suppose that one is coming from? In other words, is she suggesting that you make up excuses to have a conversation with somebody?
Exactly. It sounds like that. Yeah. Like you could find the information quicker probably by just going someplace else.
Right, but the someplace else isn't hot, Kevin.
Right?
That's what you're not remembering. You're not keeping that in mind. All right, let's find out what else is micro-cheating.
Giving an attractive waitress or waiter an excessively large tip.
Okay. Now, again, I break with the doctor here. If she's hot, she gets my money. I'm sorry.
No. What you mean to say, Bean, is if she's a great waitress, she gets your money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, she's extremely competent in her very important and difficult job, and I pay her more. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. All right, is that micro-cheating? If you throw a couple of extra bucks at an attractive server, male or female, because you, I don't know, is that considered some sort of flirting or something?
I don't see it unless you're going back every lunch requesting a sit in her area.
That seems like a reach.
That's a reach.
Yeah, I would think so too. But would you, I guess the question the doctor might ask, kind of going back to the text conversation earlier, is would you put that extra money on the bill if you were sitting there with your girlfriend?
And the answer, of course, is yes.
That's what you like to say, right? All right, let's hear some more.
And neglecting to mention a significant other in a conversation so as to appear single on purpose.
Now, that's interesting. So you're having a conversation with somebody. You're at a party or something like that, and you talk about all these things that you did and all these places that you went, and you kind of don't mention that you did those things with your spouse, maybe?
I've had guys do that, totally downplay that they're in a relationship, you're chatting at a bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've watched guys put girls' numbers in phones, mm-hmm. not with her name, but like Steve, whatever.
Oh,
let me get back
like
to this
code?
Later. Yeah, it's if you're downplaying your relationship in any way, shape, or form, it's probably not a good sign.
So is the way around that, if you're ever having a conversation with a member of the opposite sex that you don't know or don't know well, to like in that opening paragraph go, hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm married. I mean, is that what you're supposed to do, is like get everything out up top? So
no, I think you're not supposed to do these micro-cheating things.
Yeah, there's a difference between being way too open about something like, hi, I'm Jim, I've been married for 8 years, or... Hi, I'm Jim. I love to go hiking. Do you go hiking? Oh, I go hiking all the time alone. Nope. No one tied to me. I'm just Jim, real free. There's a huge difference between those two things, Bean.
I feel like you've met Jim.
I've met so many Jims, and I'm convinced I'm so many Steves and phones.
If we have time, I think, to take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. I wonder if people have things that they have complained to their significant others about as something that they see as micro-cheating, but the other person is like, you're crazy. It's just me being friendly, or it's
right.
just me having a conversation. Because a lot of this stuff is not black and white.
Well, it's not black and white, and I feel like the point of micro-cheating isn't that it happens every now and then. I feel like it's a gradual erosion. This mm-hmm. stuff is happening. You've had a conversation about it. Another one of them was you are totally keeping tabs of someone on their social media. Like, oh, look at what she just tweeted. Hey, did you see this picture? That
too much
over
of that.
Time
yeah.
could be like, why are you so obsessed with this person's social media? So I don't think it's just every now and then. This is a gradual erosion.
And I wonder if the person who is doing that, the person who is following an ex or just following somebody that they kind of have a crush on or something that online, I wonder if in their mind they think, I'm just looking at public social media. I'm not even having any interaction with this mm-hmm. person. So yeah. how can I possibly be doing anything wrong? And I'm sorry, I think that's a defensible position.
Well, of course, because you like gaslighting
right?
people, Bean. That's what you do.
No, but
you
what
make
I'm saying-
the lady feel like she's crazy while you're busy manipulating.
No. I'm just saying, hypothetically, what I'm saying is if somebody is just looking at a girl, in this case, a girl's social media, what is he really doing wrong?
Yeah, I don't. There's so many of these that I'm like, calm
this
down.
This sounds questionable. Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah, if you're then sliding into the DMs like, hey, your right. hair looks great in that picture, then you're entering a different realm. But all a right. lot of this stuff is maybe calm down a little bit.
Do you think? Okay, let's take one real quick before the break, and then we'll get to you. Everyone else who wants to call on this at 1-800-520-1067. Let's make it Deanna or Dina. I'm sorry, I don't know which. Whittier, line one, please.
Hey, Dina or Deanna.
Hi, my name's Deanna.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. I'm actually on the other side of this.
Oh.
I was the micro-cheater.
Okay,
and I
tell us
didn't think
about
it. It was a big deal until I just...
We'll be the judge of that.
So.
Okay, so what happened?
I was having a lot of, we just had a couple kids, back to back. So I was like really stressed out at home mm-hmm. and I didn't want to talk to my spouse about it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I reached out to, an old friend who was of
an old boyfriend.
Sex. No.
Okay.
Never boyfriend.
Just checking. Okay.
Never. It was completely platonic, but, it still hurt his feelings once he found out because I was keeping it a secret.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You
know, I think
so it was a secret friendship mm-hmm. because I wanted it for myself and my sanity. But
you needed somewhere to vent about your stressful life that involved your newborn kids and your husband.
Right.
Yes.
All right, Allie, how do you feel about that?
I completely get it because we need those things. To keep it an active secret, because I think a part of you probably, whether you wanted to admit it or not, hearing it today made you go, oh, shoot, that was what I was doing. You knew something would make him mad.
Exactly.
Maybe you should pick a girl to complain to.
Well, that's not micro cheating though. It's she's turning to someone for an emotional support that she's not getting from him.
Right.
Right. And it like destroyed our relationship for a couple years.
Oh no.
A couple years.
Yeah. How about now? Are things better?
It's better till an argument comes up.
Oh, and then this always comes
and
back.
Then it's on. Yeah. What about Chad? Remember Chad? Was that his name? I don't know.
Deanna, I hope we didn't come along at an inopportune time to have this conversation on the radio. I hope this isn't stirring anything up.
I just thought that I would put my side of it, and it does hurt people's feelings. And,
all right. You know, fair enough, my dear.
Yeah.
It's good luck to you and your husband and your boyfriend. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Natalie and Dave and Gabby and Tammy and all the rest. You hang on. We'll get to you right after this on K-Rock.
The Lumineers next. But first, let's talk to Tammy in Burbank. Hi there.
Hi.
Tammy, we're talking about micro-cheating here today. Has it happened in your life? It's not quite cheating. It's not quite as black and white as that. But sometimes partners get upset by things you do.
Yes, it has. It has actually happened recently. I met somebody through work, and he has been asking me to, you know, go out and hang out and everything. So I asked him if he was married, and he said he was. So at that point, I asked him, like, what do you think about, you know, having, because when I was married, we always made a pact where you don't have new friends. You have the friends that you've had throughout the years. And if you do have a new friend, then you bring that person to dinner. So I asked
him. Oh, so it's as a couple, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So I asked him, is it okay if I meet your wife? And then he said, no.
Oh, damn.
At that point, I said, okay, then why? He said, that would be awkward. What if I met your ex-husband? And I said, that would be fine, but okay. So at that point, he's a really nice guy, and I love hanging out with him. He's like, he's super fun. But then at that point, I'm like, oh, I'm starting to kind of feel a little attracted to him, and that's why I wanted to meet his wife, because I wanted to know where he stood.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I know I think he has a crush on me, because why wouldn't he let me meet his wife, correct? So
correct, yes, correct. I think you are absolutely reading this one right.
Okay. Well, that's too bad, because he's a really nice guy, and I can still keep hanging out with him if I met his wife, but no. That wouldn't be right.
Hey,
I feel like Tammy can be swayed.
Hey, get his wife to get into hiking or cruise ships, and just wait for your opening.
Jeez, Bean. Tammy's not a killer.
It wouldn't be her doing the killing. It's just that it happens anyway to anybody. All right, Tammy, glad you called. Thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. Your micro-cheating thoughts and stories coming up after the Lumineers on K-Rock. We're talking about micro-cheating now on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's not quite infidelity, but it is behavior that your partner maybe doesn't know about and certainly wouldn't approve of. Martha writes in from Whittier, 626. How about when a man invites a 20-year-old female jogger into his home to take a shower? Is that micro-cheating?
Well, I don't think so, because your wife was there.
Yeah, she was.
Right?
She was tied up in the basement, but technically
sure,
she was home. Right. All right. Give me some Rob here in Whittier, line 6. I think he's going to shed some light on this with some good observations for all of us.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
First time caller. Anyway.
Thank you.
Getting to the point. So the whole micro-cheating thing, I think the thing we need to ask ourselves and be real about it is we all get hung up on the action, but really we've got to go back a step and look at the intent. Like, you know, if we use an example, you know, I jump on Facebook and, you know, a friend of mine, a female friend, goes on a trip to Rome and I want to look at photos of her Rome holiday, maybe to plan my own holiday,
mm-hmm.
no big deal. You know? Friend of mine, jump on Facebook, I'm looking at her photos of her going to Rome because I'm sitting there thinking my wife's a nag and I picture what it would have been like if I'd married her instead. Micro-cheating, you know, same action, different intent. And I think
aren't we getting into what's going on in someone's brain and how much should they be punished for something that is just a fleeting thought that they're not acting on?
Well, yeah, it is. Well, it is. It's in our brain, because that's where it all starts. You know, that's where it all begins. I'm sure that anyone who's, you know, like cheated or been, you know, dishonest with their spouse, it started probably with a thought or a gesture or a look or a wink, or, you know, it does start with us. And that's the only thing that we can take accountability for is our own, you know, our own thoughts and our own actions. We've got to, like, I think, get on it at the root and not let it kind of manifest. And
I totally agree with Rob. I also think for some people, intent can change. So an intent of looking at someone's pictures can then be like, hey, did you have fun in Italy? Did it? And then realize, oh, this is a really fun person. It can gradually
erode. Hey, you
look
great. You really look good in this picture in Italy.
Intent can change, but I still stand firm with, if you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. So whether it starts off micro, then it goes to emotional, then it goes to physical, you know you're going to do it.
All right,
regardless.
But let me throw this out
no.
there. Do we want Rob on the air with his phony accent judging us? Is that what we're looking at here?
No, what I want is a picture of Rob.
God.
What?
Wow.
Allie wants a picture of Rob.
I'm just
saying,
Rob, I
this
like
this has escalated
accent.
In a good direction now.
I think you know my intent, Rob.
All right, Rob, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Natalie in Orange. She's online, too. I think.
Are we lucky that anyone ever calls us?
Yes, we are. Okay. I think Natalie's is a little more clear-cut that there's some nonsense going on here. Let's see if you guys agree.
Hey, Natalie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. Micro-cheating.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is or isn't. My boyfriend of 5 years, yeah, we live together. He goes down to the local Toys R Us for adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says he has these two girls helping him pick out, you know, the perfect toy to bring home and the lotion, blah, blah, blah. So he comes home with a bag. I saw the bag. He's like, hey, I got something for you later. I'm like, hey, good times, right? He goes, oh, I'll be right back. And he leaves the house again. So I later found out that the girls were so helpful that he took them a pizza. Is that micro-cheating?
They weren't helpful as much as they were hot. That's what was happening.
He took them a pizza.
He took them a pizza for lunch.
And by
pretty nice of you.
Yeah, by you saying I found out later, did he tell you?
Yeah, he told me the next day that these girls were really helpful. How'd you like it? I'm like, yeah, I had a good time last night. I really liked that one lotion. And he's like, yeah, these girls were so helpful that I went and took him a pizza.
Well, if he told you took him a pizza, then to me that's not micro-cheating at all.
He's not bringing ugly chicks at Nordstrom that helped him pick out a sweater, a pizza.
No, well, not that I know of, but...
He probably is.
You know, now the running joke is, hey, babe, I'm a little low on some lotion. Can you take them down to the KFC and see if you can come back with
Well, it sounds like you're handling it just right, Natalie. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. We appreciate it. I'll let you know seasonal turn into rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Just announced this week, it's a brand new 2018 K-Rock All Access Pass. We've never done this before, but this is one person who wins VIP access to the Weenie Roast, Almost Acoustic Christmas, and an HD radio sound space performance of your choice.
I feel like that's too much for one person.
It's a lot.
It's like when you win the lottery, it ruins your life, you know?
Yeah. There's a real danger of this ruining someone's life, Kevin, if they get to go to a couple of concerts. You're
maybe
right about that.
Maybe that's why they left off Foolishness.
Too much.
Because they would have been too much.
Over the edge.
Too much goodness.
Yeah. Or, once again, they forgot that they have a morning show. You can go to krock.com for all the details and enter to win. It's 8:54. Allie, what's happening?
You guys into House of Cards?
I watched the first three seasons, I want to say.
I watched the first season.
Very much.
And enjoyed it very much.
And then I kind of fell off.
Okay. So that sounds similar to
first
each other.
First season, though. Him all three. me first.
Well, they have resumed filming after a months-long shutdown. They weren't sure what they were going to do with Kevin Spacey after they fired him. And we know that the show is going to center around Robin Wright, and it's the final season. We don't know much more. But now we found out about two new cast members. Oscar nominees Diane Lane and Greg Kinnear have joined the cast.
Interesting.
This is all we know so far. They're going to play siblings. Dun, dun, dun. What's going to happen? They're going to take over? They're going to try and take down the presidency, as siblings do when they join up?
Sure, that happens all the time.
I don't know. So that's exciting news for people that were looking for a little different flavor on House of Cards.
I'm a guy who doesn't like to complain very much.
Yeah, that's what you're known for.
I go with the flow, as you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm easy going. Never really kind of stirring the pot. But I'm going to say that is great news, Allie, because Greg Kinnear is a fine actor who, for my money, does not work often enough.
And I don't know if it's that's because he's not getting the roles he wants, or could he just be super selective, or he's not getting offered as
don't
many
know.
Roles?
I don't know. It's just that he's always good. He's always good in everything, and he infrequently shows up in movies and television shows. So this is, I'm very happy to hear he's going to be in something else.
So you don't care for Diane Lane?
No, I like her very much.
That's not what you said.
No.
You can find her.
You didn't
say that. She's readily available. Mr. Kinnear, not so much.
I mean, that's not what you said. I feel like that's a bold statement. Mm-hmm. Kevin, you love you some Gordon Ramsay. You're a fan.
I really don't like any cooking shows of any kind.
All right. Well, what if I told you we had 34 restaurants around the world, 4 already in Vegas, but now opening a 5th in Vegas, Hell's Kitchen themed? You don't care?
I don't really know even what that is.
Hell's Kitchen, where he yells at the chefs.
And the TV show, yeah.
So you sit down to order and someone yells at you?
It's not going to be.
What do you want?
It's not going to be like that at all.
That'd be awesome.
You're a pig, order less.
Waiters just screamed in your face about everything.
I don't think
I would go to that restaurant.
Oh, see? There you go.
Yep.
There
Allie,
you have
we were,
it.
We were in New York City a few days ago broadcasting live, and we were in Soho adjacent to the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood of New York City. And I was wondering, wouldn't that be an outstanding place to put a Hell's Kitchen restaurant?
Because it's the same name?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an option.
It would work.
Okay.
Remember Bean's rules for ordering? Everybody know what you want. When they come up, do not ask them any questions. Don't ask them how that they prepare food. Just give them your order. We're like, dude,
it was
a lot of stress to eat here.
Yeah.
In my defense, when we went out to eat in New York recently, there were how many of us at the table? Wasn't it like 10 of us or something?
That was our first meal together, and it was 9 people.
Right. Okay,
and
9 people.
Serious direction.
Do you know how long it would take to even order? Forget eating. Do you know how long it would take to even order if everybody did the question, had all those questions about how everything on the menu was prepared? It'd be absurd. And by the way, there's no excuse when it's your turn to order to not know what you want. That's not the time to pick up the menu and start browsing.
See, that's the difference between you and I. Is
be prepared.
Muggs was sitting next to me, and he said, I don't have any idea what to get. And I said, listen, here's how you do it. You keep the menu right there, and when you don't look at it until they ask you what you want, and then you just panic order. First thing you see, tell them.
So Bean was just at open one and put your finger down, and whatever it lands on, that's what you have to order.
Bean was at one end giving his rules, and then I was at the other end giving Muggs good advice, I think.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did it at all bother you, Bean, that she didn't go in an order around the table? She zigzagged.
She did. She zigzagged.
I thought that would freak you out.
I was very uncomfortable with it, but I also thought, you know what? She is a restaurant professional, and maybe that's how she keeps it straight on her little notepad or something like that. It clearly works for her. It's not how I would have chosen to do it. It stunk of communism a little bit.
But, yeah.
But I felt like she was effective, and she brought the stuff out in a timely fashion, so I'll allow it.
All right. Well, since neither of you care about Hell's Kitchen, just
don't
know
care.
That there's already 25,000 reservations booked.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it.
Wow.
A big, big number. I brought this up earlier, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. It's a pilot that has been ordered from the CW. It's called In the Dark, about a blind woman who's the only witness to the murder of her drug-dealing friend. So what does she do? Well, she and her dog, Pretzel, they set out to find the killer while working at Breaking Blind, a guide dog school owned by her overprotective parents.
I'm all in on that
I
one.
Need no more.
That does sound great.
That's all I need
it's
is
absurd.
That description.
It's absurd and I love it.
Insane. And how is there not a Breaking Blind guide dog school in every city?
Right.
That's brilliant. And Pretzel.
But
dog.
He's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
There you go. Big difference.
Oh, what if Pretzel's also gay?
Or blind.
Well, she's blind.
All right.
Yeah.
But what if Pretzel's gay?
Yeah.
How does that?
It doesn't.
You guys remember when Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
Oh, that
yes.
was
oh.
the best.
Sweet spirit.
And
that could
be turned into a series.
And any one of us would have done the same thing.
100%.
But it was on TV, and it was awesome.
Oh, goodness. Bean, I feel like you probably watched this. Did you watch the original In Search Of?
The original In Search Of.
Hosted by Rod Serling, 1977,
no,
and then when
not.
He passed, Leonard Nimoy hosted it.
I did not.
Well,
I'm
then
sorry.
You might not be as excited, but it's coming back. History Channel is bringing back this series. It's called In Search Of, but this time with Zach Quinto. He's going to be the host. It's a 10-episode docuseries, and they go and find unexplained scientific mysteries from around the world. UFOs, paranormal, time travel, AI. I am in.
That sounds fun.
It's
good. So fascinating that new Spock is picking up the mantle of the show that old Spock
used to exactly
do.
Why I thought that was such a great choice.
Mm.
Right? Singer Justin Timberlake, it's his birthday today, as well as Portia de Rossi, Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, Minnie Driver, Bobby Moynihan, Marcus Mumford, and it's handled Kerry Washington. That's what's happening.
We've done a lot of stories on the air recently about planes who have had to turn around mid-flight and land for some reason. Sometimes it's a mechanical problem. Sometimes it's the toilet is backed up.
Medical emergency, maybe.
Medical emergency, certainly. But lately, oftentimes, it's been because of passengers who either get in fights with flight attendants or get in fights with each other, and it gets so out of hand that they land the plane. Is it true that that almost happened on your flight from New York back to Los Angeles on Monday?
It was my fear. And that's when I finally stepped in. But, Muggs, why don't you take it away? What exactly occurred on this flight?
Well, feeling good after our great trip to New York City. And halfway into the flight, my roommate, who's on the window, had to get up and go to the bathroom. So I have to get up because I'm on the aisle. And she gets up, and the middle seat, there was nobody in it, so we were using it for our cups. So I had to, I'm adjusting the tray to get up so she can get out. And I feel this, like, fist or elbow hit me directly in the back.
What?
Yeah.
Were you standing up?
Yeah. And I was at my seat trying to get the tray up in the middle so she can get out. And I feel this elbow smack me in the back. And I turn around, and this lady is just staring at me, and I go, "Can I help you?" And she's like, "Your butt was in my face."
By the way, very possible.
Let me tell you, Kevin, I was not only like maybe 15 inches away from her.
Right, but your butt.
My butt. Okay, when she said my butt was in her face, my butt was in her vicinity, but not in her face.
Okay.
They could have fit a drink cart in between me and her.
Yeah, keep in mind, he's not in the aisle. She's on the other side on that aisle.
Yeah.
So he's not even in the aisle near her at this point.
I'm out my seat.
So she didn't just say something rude. She hit you in the back.
She hit me in the back.
Unbelievable.
So when I turn around, I go, "Excuse me, can I help you?" "Your butt was in my face." I said, "Well, first of all, I was nowhere near you. And second of all, you can ask somebody nicely and not put your hands on them."
Boom!
And she just, like, she didn't have anything to say. But I was so pissed. I can say that, right?
Yes.
I was so peed off.
Or that, sure.
I couldn't really let it go because I had to wait until the girl who was in my row to come back to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to sit down yet. And she kept looking at me as if I was like invading her space. But
man, I'm telling you, if I'm you, I'm just sort of moving in her direction little by little.
Oh, you are him. Take it away.
She kept looking at me. I said, Am I okay? Is this perimeter okay for you to stand around?
Yeah.
And she wouldn't say anything after
that.
So
you're not letting it go.
No, I was fuming.
You were personally offended.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure to ratchet it up to the point where this argument can't end.
And to this point, everybody around me is starting to, like, look and peek. And,
sure.
And Allie.
Allie, you saw it?
Yeah, I was one row in front, and I heard it from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. And Allie was sitting in front of this lady, and I'm going, and the girl finally comes back, and I'm like, "All right, I'm going to sit down now, but I'm going to do it over here. Is that cool with you?"
And that's when I turned around, and I grabbed Muggs' arm, and I'm like, "Mug, sit down. This woman's nuts. I'm not landing in Oklahoma."
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh.
But then guess who decided to start messing with me?
She did?
Same lady?
Yep.
So, same lady.
So she's taking her tray down. She's slamming it. Every time she'd, like, have to get up, she'd grab the back of my seat and pull it backwards.
What is
she's
happening?
She's tapping on my seat. She's out of her mind. But then the plane lands. Everything's fine. She decides, by the way, we are about 10 rows from the back of the plane.
Right.
She decides, well, that's her cue when we finally stop to get up and rush towards the front.
Oh, to beat everybody else?
Pushing past people.
Oh, to which a guy 2 rows in front of me stops her and he goes, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm going." And he says to her, "Well, what we do on planes is we go row by row." And she says, and I quote, "Oh, I didn't see any written instructions." And that's when I lost my freaking
careful. Careful.
Off.
Can't say that one.
You are rotten. What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you, Allie?
There is. I was so riled up at this point that, first of all, you treat Muggs like crap.
Right.
Then you treat me like crap. And now you're treating some guy that has at least 5 minutes before we're even standing up getting out. Who do you think you are, you entitled biatch?
People have been deplaning by row since there have been planes.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, you don't really need to have that posted anywhere in the cabin.
And without written rules.
Yeah. Right. I almost thought we should probably tell the flight attendant about her, because the flight attendant came at some point because she had actually moved her seat at the beginning of the plane to sit behind us. And the flight attendant was trying to get the name of her original seat, whether they screwed up something. I felt like we probably should have said something to the flight attendant like, hey, if that lady was a problem, you've got three people here to back you guys up.
You probably should have.
Because she was rotten. Well, United from Newark to L.A., give me a call if some big, mean lady decides to sue you.
And what are you going to do? Oh, sue you. Okay.
I'll cuss again. I'm so mad.
You know we still can't say the F word on the air, right?
I pulled away from the mic and whispered it.
But the mic was still on.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
It could
still be heard.
Yeah.
So, Muggs, are you just shooting her death ray stares the whole time on the rest of the flight?
Once Allie kind of like calmed me down, I just ignored her the rest of the flight. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to even waste my time with this idiot.
Yeah.
But she was directly next to me the whole flight, but I just pretended like she wasn't there. Yeah.
But you pretended like she wasn't there because of your edible, right?
Maybe.
Good, those guys were at Acoustic Christmas. Remember that, Allie?
Oh, yeah, they were incredible. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity.
They blew the place.
See them in that place. Yeah,
oh, so good. And so all many bands before them, and then they came out and just like, boom!
Yeah,
we rule.
If you weren't there, you are a zero. That's all I know.
You guys,
what?
I had pneumonia and the little strep throat.
They're
one of my favorite bands, and it's who I've been asking for every single Weenie Roast acoustic everything.
And you didn't see them?
No.
Okay. They weren't that good then. They were not very good then.
Yeah. You were resting up, though, for the Last Jedi screening the next day, right?
I could not go to that on the Disney lot either. Yeah, yeah. That was the worst week of my life.
Bad week.
It was awful.
Good times.
Bad week. Hey, but you're feeling fine now, and you're here with our final What's Happening on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
I'm going to give Kevin a chance to redeem himself.
Okay, what?
We played this a few hours ago. It's beautiful. It's a group called Choir, 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 and they get people together. We're talking hundreds of people, and they learn a song, and then they perform that song, sometimes with huge, huge celebrities. In this case, David Byrne from Talking Heads.
I love this. I don't know why you're saying you're going to give me
another
chance.
How dare you? He tweeted, "This month I performed with Choir, 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 whose show consists of teaching large groups of total strangers a song arrangement that they then sing together. What happens when one sings together with other people? It's extraordinary."
It's mayhem.
He said extraordinary. And what he did was the song Heroes by David Bowie. Here's a bit.
I will be king.
Kevin.
And you.
I will hurt everything you love.
You drive them away. We can be heroes just for one day.
Kevin, I can hear you sneaking in the.
I really enjoyed that.
I can see you and hear it. What is wrong with you, Kevin?
I really enjoyed that. Should we play it again? Because I really
like
to hear it.
What about it didn't you like?
It's really good.
Okay.
I love the choir parts and everything. I really like it.
Like, it sounds like you're buzzing.
Yeah, it does. See, right there.
What that
sound.
It's on the
right there.
It must be on the recording.
It is not
on
the recording.
It's on the recording. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me tell you something about that Heroes song. The original's still the best.
You're the worst.
We can be heroes.
Unbelievable.
Just for that's
amazing. That's beautiful.
Kevin, I'm literally looking at you, trying to do it quick enough that your hands are like jamming on themselves.
What are you talking about?
Kevin.
What's your problem with it?
I love it. What are you guys talking about?
You keep buzzing.
That's beautiful.
As if it's negative. As if it's a bad
thing.
No, we're good.
I'm telling you, it's probably on the tape.
Here's what I was going to say, you guys. Mm-hmm. The original is still the best, but this is one of those songs that's so great that there have been so many cover versions of it that have also been outstanding. Kevin. The Wallflowers, for instance, did an amazing version of it. Mm-hmm. Oasis did an incredible version of it. Blondie did the song.
I'm beeping you.
Apparently, Kevin's got no time for any of them.
Any of it.
That's a great, great version of that song. I love it. Couldn't love it more.
You're from hell. You guys, some of the strangest prop bets have come out about the big game coming up Sunday. Some call it the Super Bowl. Want to hear a few?
Sure. Well, I love this. The Super Bowl, people think you can just, you know, the people who think that, oh, I can put some money down on who wins the game or even who covers the spread. There are 200, 300 different ways you can bet on the Super Bowl. It's insane how they break it down.
We do coin flip. We do over, under for the national anthem. Right. I mean, there's 100,000 different ways.
Okay, one that I get, will any members from NSYNC perform with Justin Timberlake at halftime? Yes, 2-1. No, 1-3.
Okay.
Number of tweets by President Donald Trump. Over under is 5.
It's weird.
That's a lot.
Yes.
It's weird, though, because there are times when he doesn't tweet during anything.
Right.
Like the Grammys. I was stunned that he had nothing to say about the Grammys.
How many times will the words wardrobe malfunction be mentioned during the TV broadcast?
I'm going to tell you that's 0.
Over 1.5 times, 17-10. Under 2-5.
I think Bean's right in
that. They just leave it alone?
Yep. The network,
they pretend it never happened.
The network will tell them not to say anything.
Well, it's NBC. It's not on CBS.
I understand
but,
that. But.
Okay. We've also got ones about how many times will they mention Tom Brady's age? What color will Pink's hair be to start the national anthem? Obviously, we mentioned how long will it take her to sing.
What are the odds on them mentioning Tom Brady's age? Because in the playoffs, I feel like they brought up that he was 40 about every 10 minutes.
Over 1.5 times, 5-14. Under 37-20.
Way over.
Right?
I think
it has to be.
Because it's every time they brought it up, it's impressive.
Yes.
Yeah. And how about stitches? How often will they bring up stitches, too?
Oh, they've got to bring up stitches.
Because they're now out. But
gloves. Mm-hmm. Gronk, brain damage.
Sure. Right.
I mean, all of those. Very good. I saw this yesterday, and I thought, this sounds disgusting, but I might be into it. Odell Beckham Jr. shared a recipe with his mom, Heather, on what they're going to be eating on Super Bowl Sunday. Welch's grape jelly meatballs. Have you ever heard of this?
No, that sounds like a gross mixture.
Putting 2 pounds of frozen meatballs in the bottom of a crock pot. Then you add 2.5 cups of grape jelly and 18 ounces of barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
Then just let it cook for 3.5 hours.
And then throw it out.
That sounds disgusting, right?
Wow.
But if you're
why does he hate his mom?
But if you're at his house, like, you have to eat one, right?
I mean, you sort of have to.
You have to.
But no.
Sounds disgusting.
Yes.
So that I couldn't find any more information on it, but I have to think maybe it's an ad for Welch's.
Oh,
right?
A commercial maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But didn't we have something with meatballs? Weren't they tasty, Kevin?
Are you asking me to push this button?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
They said we put the jam on the meat dogs, and I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So I tried it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Turns out they know what they're doing.
For National Meat Dog Day, for bringing us in those meatballs. We appreciate it.
Did that sound right to you coming out of your mouth, Kevin?
No.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So part of you has thought about meatballs and jelly before, subconsciously.
Meat dogs. I mean, it's not the same thing.
Right. Well, maybe in your head,
could be.
You already knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Meatball guy? What? Why would I have said meatball guy?
How do we
meatball
know?
Guy? I don't have the answers to this. I talked about this earlier, and for people that missed it, I don't know why this tickled me. I don't do Kardashian stories.
Right.
I think they're pointless, but this one made me chuckle. Kim Kardashian posted a ton of pictures the other day, but one in particular got people all riled up. She was wearing cornrows in her hair, and she wound up referring to herself as Bo West. So making kind of a correlation between her and Bo Derek.
From 40 years ago.
From the 70s, yeah. And Twitterverse went a little bit nuts, saying that's cultural appropriation. Cornrows are from Africa. It's not, didn't start in the 70s with a sex symbol. But then Lindsay Lohan chimed in on her Instagram and wrote, "I am confused." And Kim Kardashian sassed right back, "You know what's confusing? Your sudden foreign accent." I mean,
you don't expect good stuff like that from her.
No.
That's pretty strong.
Kudos you for that one.
You don't think I feel bad?
I hope not.
I mean, I
own it.
Own that one. There's a lot you should feel bad about. That is not one of them. Adam Levine might be leaving The Voice, you guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Writer Online says he's considering leaving it because of his growing family, and his wife is putting the pressure on to be more present in the kids' lives. So, word is, he's anxious to be a stay-at-home dad and work on new music. I say if The Voice keeps him from working on new music, stay at The Voice.
It's good.
What's wrong with me?
Not sure.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Justin Timberlake, actress Portia de Rossi and Minnie Driver, Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons, actors Bobby Moynihan and Kerry Washington, and the Sex Pistols' Johnny Rotten. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, the SoCal Helpful Hunt. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, Allie had a pretty good life hack today. Who knew that in your dishwasher you could actually change the level of the racks in there?
Right? No one say anything.
Come on.
Kevin explains dishwashers.
I mean, who knew? So if you've got a life hack, we're going to take yours tomorrow morning. We're also going to talk sports with Jim Rome.
You okay?
And we've got Dr. Drew tomorrow morning as well.